May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 1143. See, gracious God, before thy throne, thy mourning people bend. 'Tis on thy sovereign grace alone our humble hopes depend. 1143.
Thank you. reading of the Word of God is from the prophecy of Jonah, chapters 1 and 2. The book of the prophet Jonah, chapters 1 and 2. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish, from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. And they said every one to his fellow, Come, and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thy occupation? And whence comest thou? What is thy country? And of what people art thou? She said unto them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, Take me up and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord, and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life. Lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me, Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight. Yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. To my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. They that observe lie in vanities, forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. The Lord bless the reading of his word to us each, and help us in prayer. O Lord, thou great, eternal, holy, merciful God, permit us to seek thy face. Lord, thou indeed knowest each heart here. We do pray that we may feel the sweet influence of thy Holy Spirit, Lord, leading us and directing us into prayer. And as we present these petitions, we present it upon the merits of that all-prevailing and precious name of thy Son, Jesus. Lord, we would thank thee for the opportunity of worship, for the desire that is found in the heart. Our Lord, and we trust it is a holy desire, a spiritual desire, our Lord, to meet in the house of God around thy word. And we do ask thee too that as thou hast brought us together, that in the purposes of thy grace, it will be for our soul's profit and good. Oh, we would be mindful, Lord, of worship, what it really is, because there's lots of things, Lord, that go under the name of worship. But Lord is not worship. Lord, we need a Holy Spirit teaching. Real worship is spiritual. Lord, mere lip attendance and the natural mind, Lord, has nothing to do with it. But it is where the grace of God is found, in the souls of thy dear people, a spirit of worship. But Lord, a real spirit of worship comes out and is to be known by revelations of Jesus. Lord, why did the man write, lo, at his feet would fall, join in the everlasting song, and crown him Lord of all? Lord, was a place of worship. We read in the Gospel, Lord, of Mary sitting at Jesus' feet and hearing his word. Lord, we would pray to be in such a place and in such a condition, a Lord of soul. Lord, as we are found here together, may we lose sight of and indeed have the influence removed from us of anything that is of this world. Lord, shut Satan and the world out and subdue this sinful self. Lord Jesus, be here with us as we often remind thee that in the days of thy flesh the company that thou didst keep was sinners. It brought reproof upon thee. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. But Lord, if thy company was someone who was good and had many evidences of that goodness, uprightness, moral uprightness, Lord, thou wouldst not meet with us. But as thou hast, Lord, a blessed covenant, a Lord which is made for sinners, and included in it is a Lord, and to be found in it safe, has been by the gracious calling and choice of Almighty God. But it's a covenant of love, dear Lord, not a covenant of works. Covenant of works we cannot keep, for Lord, it demands total obedience, and this we cannot do. But may the hope be raised up in us by the good Spirit of truth, that he that came to suffer, bleed and die kept the law and made it honourable. Lord, we have to come to thee tonight. Lord, as often as we do, 'tis quite familiar to us. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress, helpless look to thee for grace. Black I to the fountain fly, wash me, Saviour, or I die. And Lord, what are the sins of today? What a hindrance they are. Lord, who knows what a hindrance sin is? But then, Lord, we have to beg that that precious blood that was shed for sin, the sin of thy people, may wash away all our iniquities. Grant us each real repentance, real confession, and a sacred knowledge of the cleansing power of the atoning blood. And Lord, we do ask for thee for this blessed Spirit of truth to come. And Lord, as we are here to worship, it is that he is needed in all parts. And Lord, to pray, we depend on the Spirit's instruction, and certainly to speak. But Lord, is it not needed for hearing? Lord, if there's no Holy Spirit in the hearing, Lord, no prophet will come. What we want, Lord, is what's so often spoken about. Lord, a soul. Lord, as we read in the Gospel, prepared ground. What we need, Lord, is the Word of God, the seed is the Word of God. Lord, to be dropped in by the Holy Spirit. And then, Lord, we feel the word of God will come to pass. It will bring forth fruit. Some 30, some 60, some 100. Oh, alas, Lord, we have to say, we're more like those other hearers. Anon, with joy, receive the word. Then something comes along and robs us of it. Cares, concerns, trials and troubles come along, and instead of being for our good, Lord, it removes the word. There's no fruit. Oh, to be therefore, to be in possession of a spiritual condition and soul. And Lord, it may be that there are those in the house of God who are exercised and burdened and troubled, are in the midst of afflictions or tribulations. Lord, and what is the remedy? I will hear what God the Lord will say. Lord, what is the remedy? Not my will, but thine be done. Oh, put power, Lord, and apply the word. Lord, we can do nothing more than what thou dost give us to do. It isn't our place, Lord. It isn't given to us. If thou wilt be pleased to help us speak, but application comes from thee, do grant it, Lord, this night. Remember this sanctuary, Lord, for good, maintained all these years, and a gospel ministry, truth is brought into this place week after week. Lord, we pray that thou would bless the truth. Send thy servants with a word for this people, and bring it home, Lord, to whom thou wilt. Lord, thou art a sovereign God. And oh, how we have to prove that true. But Lord, the word can come, but the power is not, if it isn't known, Lord, it can come only from thee. Bless thy word in this place. Hast thou not said it will not return to thee void? And we do ask to provide for them, Lord, and may the day come when thou wilt provide an under shepherd, one that will go in and out amongst them and preach the gospel. Unite one to them and them to this one, whoever it is. May there be that mutual and evident union that flows from this place and flows to this place. Those who hold office, give them grace and wisdom and understanding. God-given grace, God-given wisdom, God-given understanding. And Lord, help them to commit the burden of this cause into thy hands. Lord, remember those who form a church here. Remember those who may be exercised concerning joining the church. Is there such, Lord? Because thou knowest the hearts of each. And Lord, surely the day will come when we shall, Lord, with them rejoice and be glad. So, Lord, remove all barriers. The power of unbelief, remove. The fear of man, remove. The inability, the insufficiency of self, do remove. Lord, what wilt thou give in exchange? The love of Christ. Lord, that will move, Lord, the heart and mind and spirit, and make the feet willing to walk in the ways of thy command. Lord, we do pray for these things because We live in a day, Lord, when these ordinances are slighted. And Lord, wrong things are said that it isn't necessary. And Lord, many a preacher has been guilty of saying it's not necessary. Lord, I wonder thou dost frown upon us. Obedience is a grace. And the Lord of life and glory was brought into this blessed, sacred willingness. Suffer it to be so now. Oh, may there be those, Lord, that shall be constrained to come to tell to sinners round what a dear Saviour I have found. Do remember, Lord, all an affliction's path, and to cause that the afflictions may draw them to thee. Lord, it is a wonderful mercy if thou dost use, whether it's circumstantial affliction or bodily tribulations, whatever it is, it's a great mercy, Lord, if it brings a soul to seek after Christ, to seek after his appearance and help. Remember others that are in bereavement and sorrow. Lord, prepare us for that day. And we do pray for them that they may be comforted and helped and strengthened, and help them, Lord, to lean on thee. What dost thou say, Lord? What dost thou say? How shall it be in the swellings of Jordan? What does the good poet say, Lord? He never takes away at all. Himself he gives us still. Lord, we thank thee that thou art a God of providence. And all praise and honour and glory is due to thee. Lord, and we're thankful too that, Lord, in all thy great concerns thou hast not us forgot. Lord, and then we would remember the state of this nation. Then we would see the solemn dispensation that this nation at this time is going through. And Lord, what is so grieving, Lord, and solemnly grieving to us. Lord, the prayers of the people of God, Lord, are not answered. Lord, we solemnly feel the dreadfulness of these days. Lord, and yet, Lord, we've tried to pray that thou would not bring these things to pass, that thou would overthrow the counsels of the ungodly, that thou would cause the man of sin not to enter these shores. But Lord, thou hast said no to our prayers. Oh, we would bow to thy will. Lord, fresh guilt and shame comes upon us as a nation. Lord, rule over the rulers and bring them to see a need of wisdom. Lord, isn't the one in government, isn't the one, Lord, that can remember that wisdom is from above. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Lord, what a blessing that person would be to this nation. Oh, raise up someone, Lord, who knows where wisdom is to be found. And Lord, maintain to us the privileges that we have. Lord, and an open Bible is a great privilege. Able to meet together around the word is a great privilege. It wasn't always so. This privilege, Lord, was bought, obtained through suffering and through death. So may we value it now, and indeed pray that it may be continued to the generation following. We would remember the generation following, the children and the young people here that have come here. Lord, may they early find thee. They that seek me early shall find me. bring them into places where they shall need help. Lord, where they shall remember the God of their fathers and shall seek help from him who helps the helpless. Lord, oh, the mercy of this. Lord, it will save them from the present evil state of indifference and carelessness. Keep us, Lord, from a religious flesh. Preserve us, Lord, from that adherence to things which are but letter. May we, Lord, have light and understanding of the true pathway of grace and mercy. Lord, hear us now and be with us. Open up to us the word. Lord, we trust and can say before thee, it is from thee. So it must be for this people. Wilt thou bless it, make it a blessing, so that thy name shall be honoured and glorified. Lord, forgive all our sins and wash the prayers that are offered in the blood of Jesus. For his name's sake. Amen.
Hymn 1084. Ah, wretched, vile, ungrateful heart that can from Jesus thus depart, thus fond of trifles vainly rove, forgetful of a Saviour's love. Hymn 1084.
the Lord helping us, I would ask your attention to the book of the prophet Jonah, chapter 2. I'll read verse 4. The book of the prophet Jonah, chapter 2, and verse 4. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again towards thy holy temple. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. 'Tis the second part, really, that came upon my spirit yesterday. And it is spoken of, and it is spoken to, a disobedient child. You know the account. Before we ever read it, you were fully aware of the way of Jonah, having a divine instructor instruction to go to Nineveh. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. When the Lord has a work to do, obedience he demands. And there is no prophet. If there's one soul that sits in this house of God tonight that is disobedient, I will tell you this, your soul will be in trouble. You will never feed from the word of God. You will never prosper in the things of God all the time. The shame of disobedience rests upon you. This is not a sermon about walking in the ordinances of God's house. This is a discourse upon obedience of a child of grace to his God. Consequence is often walked out in darkness and in distress. How can you expect the smile of God? How can you expect his approbation? How can you expect, when you come up to God's house, to receive any comfort under the word of truth, if underlying all this is a spirit of disobedience? What is a spirit of disobedience? I thought there's a line that we sang, or you sang just now. In vain I charge my thoughts to stay and chide each vanity away. In vain, alas, resolve to bind this rebel heart, this wandering mind. What indeed is disobedience? If a child is disobedient to his parents, he should expect, though he may fear, some form of correction. And it would be wise to be so, wouldn't it? Otherwise, the lawless do what they like and turn away from walking in some ordered way and manner. And the Lord even so will seek out his disobedient child for reproof. And that reproof may take various ways, but amongst all things he'll hide his face from such a person. And though they may in their own soul feel a need of the Lord's appearance and blessing upon their pathway and upon their spiritual experience, it is mostly withheld. It's very solemn, you know. In the Word of God there are those illustrations which are profitable to remember. And I thought sometimes how self, I was going to say, governs the footsteps and the way, sorts out, as it were, what it will and what it won't do. Why is the disobedience from a child of grace? Well, it may be that he is under the an unbelieving spirit. It may be that he may look at himself in the light of the word of God and say, well, I am not fit for doing this or not fit for doing that. If the Lord lays upon you his will and purpose, and you and I are disobedient, what we're doing, you know, is really turning away from the will of God. We're ignoring what Almighty God has said. I feel it's very solemn, these words. But on the other hand, the Lord will not let his people go. He will not let them leave his covenant, or his covenant will never leave them. And neither will he also allow them to continue in disobedience, because he'll bring them back, and by one means or another they will fall before him. I think of that case of the prodigal in Luke's gospel. You see, it is a earthly story with a heavenly meaning, a parable. But it's not a parable if you know your own heart and mind and spirit. It describes the people of God who has not been brought into those places where they have realized the solemnity of what it is to backslide. And God in his mercy has given a spirit of repentance. What does it mean when we read that he spent his substance in riotous living? Well, his substance was that which was his comfort, which was his means of support, which is from his God. And you know, if you embark in worldly relationships and worldly conversations, you can lose the comfort of the Spirit's work in the soul. And if you remember, the Lord Jesus Christ, speaking of the prodigal, said, and there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And that was the way back. When a child of grace falls or backslides from the ways of God, the Lord won't let him rove too far without that he will smite his conscience. And in that conscience his work will be felt and realized, and he'll know what it is for the frown of God to be on him. And he'll begin to seek out, and that will be the Spirit's work. Have you never been in that spot? I can take you in my mind now, of course, back many years. I went in the things of my occupation and amongst the conversation of the world and that sort of thing. You know, you forget God and godliness. I can remember one night coming home late after a meeting. And when I got to my bed, it came to my mind as I laid my head on my pillow, I will arise and go to my Father. I will say unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. You know, when a child of grace slips into this carnal state of mind, there is a frown to be felt, and there is distress to be known. And so it must be, and so it will be, and blessed be God for it. And when you and I come to places where when we begin to be in want. You are blessed, God, in time and throughout eternity, that he has not left you nor forsaken you. Let's go back to Jonah. Yes, I will look again toward thy holy temple. Of course, it has its bearing upon a work of grace. It has its meaning too upon that merciful union between Christ and his church. Yes, will I look again? He didn't say, yes, will I look? If you read the Psalm of Repentance, the 51st Psalm, and David speaks about or prays about the need of mercy, the need of washing, the need of restoring. And you've heard me say this lots of times, because it's so necessary for the health, the spiritual health of my soul and yours as well, if you're a living soul. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Jonah had sinned, and God's reproof was upon him. His chastening hand was upon him. And what was the purpose? Why was it that Jonah was to be taught? Jonah had a work to do, and that work was not given to somebody else. The Lord doesn't change his mind. He doesn't say, well, if you won't do it, someone will. He has that and his eternal mind, which is what Jonah, of course, rose up against. In that eternal mind, the purposes of God goes on, and no amount of rebellious spirit or disobedient spirit will ever change his heart or mind towards his people. And so he brings him into this extremely solemn place, and he describes it. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice, for thou hast cast me into the sea, into the deep, in the midst of the sea, and the floods compass me about, all thy billows and thy waves pass over me. I don't believe he was talking about nature. I don't really believe that he was referring to the sea in which the whale was swimming. I believe it was a spiritual experience that he was entering into and going through. But you see, the life of God cannot be drowned. Those who are the subjects of the grace of God have a life that will never die. I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish. Oh, but some of these dark places and these solemn dealings of God with our soul because of our sin, because of our iniquity, they are dark places, but the Lord will teach us out of them and ultimately deliver us from them. And we find too, you know, if you look at this word in a spiritual eye, and surely I'm not speaking tonight to some that have no knowledge of this. This is not, shall we say, one of these comfortable gospel sermons. Some of these things which play upon the mind and give a false comfort and a false hope. This is delving into divine teaching. This is the purposes of God being brought to light. And fixed as it was upon one person, what this one person here experienced, so does the Church of Christ experience in like manners and in like ways. So him, isn't there? And I looked at it in the vestry, if I could just drop on it for a moment. Forgive me wandering from the text. But it says this: he shall by means like these thy stubborn temper break, soften thy heart by due degrees, and make thy spirit meek. Is chastening therefore prize, the privilege of a saint. Their hearts are hard who that despise, and theirs too weak who faint. 'Tis a good hymn. Who knows it? Who experiences these things? These are not, these things that we are dealing with tonight are not general gospel sermon dealings. This is God's reproof for a sinner. And I tell you, underneath it all, that holds it up and maintains it and is the cause of it also, is God's love to that soul. He will not let his people go. And he will, I was going to use such words as taken steps. I hope you will understand and forgive if it sounds too careless, but he'll take steps, and he will bring this about, that he'll bring his people back into repentance. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight. Yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. But then on the other hand, I would ask this question. Do you find praying easy? Do you find answers of prayer easy? I know it says in the psalm, he spake and it was done. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and brought him out of all his troubles, delivered him out of all his troubles. Is praying easy to you or to me? It isn't to me. And what is so solemn, you know, is when there is the withholding of the answer. But it is recorded in God's word why it is. Oh, how careless we would get. And how worldly we would get with our religion. And how we would take the honour and the glory to ourselves. What does it mean? The trial of your faith. That's what it means. The trial of your faith. Yes, I will look again. He often waits till men are faint and comes at even late. Yes, I will look again. Something you see that whatever condition, none of us will ever be found where Jonah was. Not in the experience that he had, but there will be those deep times and deep situations and dark places. I was thinking, I looked at the Bible in the vestry there, and I looked at the 61st Psalm, and it says this, from the ends of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. I don't know how you view the scriptures or how you view the experiences of God's people. And I wonder too how you would judge the Lord's dear people. But it is through much tribulation we shall enter the kingdom. In me you shall have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And I find this, and I look back over a few years, quite a few years. And I have to say this, that hymn that we quoted, 'tis by means like these thy stubborn temper break. Oh, we used to have a dear old minister, perhaps he used to preach here. He'd gone to glory many years. And he used to say this, he loads their shoulders well with woe, and thus obtains his end. And if you really study the spiritual side of the people of God in the word of truth, how much they learned by deep paths. None of this fanciful way of gospel preaching that is so common today. None of this equality with a holy God. None of this, all you've got to do is this and all you've got to do is that. As a lady said, or a woman said to me one day, I don't know why you keep talking about sin, for that's all gone. Christ died on Calvary's tree, it's all gone. And I said, you know, sin isn't dead in me. If you think yours is all gone, mine's not gone, it's still there, it still raises its head, still troubles me, still I have to beg for mercy, and that every day, and during the day. Yes, I will look again toward thy holy temple. Now, there is a little light on this word. If you and I are a child of grace, and he has had mercy upon us in our unregenerate condition, called us by his grace, and his spirit has worked within us deep things, trying things, troublesome things. You will know the meaning of this word. Yes, I will look again. Does that not describe your experience? I'm not one of these people. I know the Lord's sovereign and I bow to that sovereignty. But I can't say that I'm one of these people that can speak much of instant answers. And wonderful are answers, that the God of heaven, who's eternal, is holy, should hear the cry of the destitute and not despise their prayer. And mercifully appears. Mercifully, while they call, I will answer. These are the dealings of God. But I have to say, much is known by looking again. Where there's true grace, there's true faith. And when that works, where it is found, and I'm going to misuse the hymn writer's words, it is written in a hymn concerning the fear of God, that the faith that is in the child of grace, though damp, it never dies. And so this explains this word, yet I will look again. But then might I include in this these desires, these wishes so weak, which Jesus inspires and bids you still seek. The other night, Wednesday night at home, I spoke from those words in the 1st of Kings 18. Elijah had been spoken to of God. The first verse of that chapter are these words. Now I read them because it's far more safer to read them. It came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, Go, show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. But the words that we spoke from that night was this. It's about Elijah and his servant. And he said to his servant, Go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, There is nothing. There is nothing. And he said, Go again seven times. And it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, Behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea, like a man's hand. Oh, those appointed times. But going back to this word again, yet I will look again. Past experiences. Wonderful thing, you know, is experience. Religion without experience is, well, what comfort is it? What comfort is it? But you see, divine teaching will bring experience. And there will be those times when you'll have to go again. Look again, once more, towards thy holy temple. The Lord keeps his people waiting. He tries their faith. It's a matter of obedience, you know. Why is a child of God disobedient? Why, can you go back, some of you? Why you were disobedient? Well, I knew my insufficiency, you say. Well, if you have to stand and do anything in the service of God, in the house of God, who do you look to? Who do you wait upon? When I sent you, he said to his disciples, without scrip or shoes, actually anything, and they said nothing. He didn't lack anything. You see, this is the mercy of God. This is where unbelief will trouble the people of God. If the Lord presents to your mind his will and purpose, and that you're to go down this path and walk in this way, and that's his will and purpose, that's his command, you look at yourself and you say, I can't go there, Lord, I haven't got this, I haven't got that, and I'm deficient of this, and I'm deficient of that. The Lord give you and I greater faith to believe that what he says he will do, he will accomplish. Do you think, child of grace, that he'll send you and put you in a pathway? Certainly it will be a pathway that you can't manage. Oh, I would ever speak to a person who feels he's got something to do in God's house and he's quite sufficient for it. Because if he's of God, the Lord will take away his sufficiency and give him destitution to teach him truth. But where the Lord has his will and purposes for you or me, he will supply that need that you feel you are indeed destitute without. I have to say this, and I hope you'll forgive me, but this is not just hearsay that I'm talking about. This is experience. Back in 1978, somewhere about the close of the month of April, there was a good man came to Hanover and preached. And he preached from the words in the 107th Psalm, the 7th verse. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. And right up to the close of the evening service, it was very acceptable preaching. It wasn't application in a personal way till then. But just as he was closing, he dropped these words out. Oh, that men should praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And he looked up and he said, and how will you do it, sinner? By obedience. By obedience. And you know what dropped into my spirit? I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of his righteousness, even of his only. That was a word in season, but the Lord showed me in a flash of a moment of time. You see, you and I will never prosper if you are disobedient, but you'll never prosper either if you go in your own strength. Oh, there's been many a ministers and brought to silence. You read about that dear old minister from Norwich, Alfred Dye. He was one of these cutting ministers. And he spoke the truth. And he was asked to preach at an anniversary. And he thought, well, I can't go and preach at an anniversary with all these so-called cutting remarks. So he picks out a text, which he called an anniversary text, whatever they are. And he got up and gave out his text, and the Lord shut his mouth. He sat down in utter confusion. Then he got up again and said, now this is the real text. And he went on like he used to do, preaching the truth with the fear of God. You see, the Lord will frown on disobedience, but he'll also frown on works. And he'll frown on any of his people that rests in their own strength and righteousness. People would say about ministers who've been on the walls of Zion for so many years, well, are you not accustomed to it? And the answer is no. Yes, it doesn't have the same effect of standing before people as it used to do. But as far as the preaching is concerned, it's utter dependency. Now, dear friends, I wandered away a bit. Yes, I will look again toward thy holy temple. What does the Lord give his people? To support them. They are independent by nature. But if God has purposes of grace towards you, he'll make you wholly dependent. Thy whole dependence on me fix, nor entertain a thought. Thy worthless schemes with mine to mix, but venture to be naught. And the more I look at the children of God as it's recorded, the more poverty I see. And I tell you this, the older I get and the nearer to the grave I get, the more emptiness and poverty do I feel. But how do you learn, child of God, that you have a faithful God? How do you learn that you have a God that doesn't change? There is that well-known text, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. And those who have been in the way some season, some time, will tell you this, how perfectly true is that word. The yesterdays, you've got your yesterdays, some of you. Has he changed? No. Have you? Yes. Because unbelief rises up. Oh, the sadness of blind unbelief is sure to err and scan his work in vain. God is his own interpreter and he will make it plain. And he's sufficient for the church of Christ. He will be sufficient for you. Cast, he said, on me thy care. 'Tis enough that I am nigh. I will all thy burdens bear. I will all thy needs supply. We would be foolish if we said, you've nothing to worry about. That's what Satan will tell you. That's what your natural proud nature will tell you. But I found it, and the children of God have found it, that when he speaks, yet will I look again towards thy holy temple. It's a place of dependency, but it's a place of faithfulness. Has ever trouble yet befall, and he refused to hear thy call? And has he not his promise passed, that thou shalt overcome at last? Yet I will look again. There is faith. As I've said, though damp, it never dies. The billows and the waves never put out the faith of Jonah. Never destroyed the faith of Jonah. There were those disciples in the boat, wasn't there? The waves and the billows. Desperate was their condition. Carest thou not that we perish? The Lord Jesus Christ wrote, I heard a good servant of God say this, you know. The waves and the billows never woke the Saviour, but the prayers of the people of God did. And he rose and rebuked the wind and the waves and said, peace, be still. And there was a great calm. None of us can see what we need. Often in our reading and prayer and morning as well as night, in a family altar, I often have to say to the Lord, I don't know what's before me, Lord. I know I've made an engagement in the fear of God, but whether I shall meet it, I do not know what lies in front of us. Only the Lord knows. But you see, this gracious God, child of God, is an all-sufficient God. He's never failed. He's never forsook his people. Hide his face? Yes, he does. And it's necessary, because that stirs up the child of grace. But he never fails. He's an eternal God. Have you ever wondered at his mercy? You have good reason to wonder at his mercy if you are the subject of it. When Peter denied his Lord and Master with oaths and curses, he didn't send him off. Yes, he did reprove. Yes, he did break his heart. But there was a purpose of love in it. His chastening therefore prize. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. Yes, I will look again towards thy holy temple. If you've got anything, if you've got a spot of grace, it's no matter what you do in God's house, if you've got a spot of grace, there is a store in himself. There's a line of a hymn that I often refer to, if I could get it back into my memory. Reign o'er us as King, accomplish thy will, and powerfully bring us forth from all ill, till falling before thee, we laud thy blessed name, ascribing the glory to Christ, to God and the Lamb. He's an all-sufficient God. What you need, you think you need, he will abundantly supply. He'll never bring you into confusion if you're a child of God. He will rise up on your behalf. And men and devils can say what they will, but he is Almighty God. He reigns on no disputable throne. You see, this is the mercy. And as God's people are the subjects of his grace, and when they come into times of difficulty, he gives them grace to bear. And he said unto me, Paul wrote, didn't he? My grace is sufficient. But I tell you another grace that's with our God, and that's restoring grace. That's why I quoted just now from the psalm, restore unto me. What a mercy that he will never let his people go. His covenant love towards them is an eternal covenant love. But they'll cry out sometimes because of their backsliding, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Oh, it is dark when Jesus has not come. But in the purposes of his mercy, in the purpose of his eternal will, he'll have them cry. This poor man cried. He'll have them cry. And they'll look again. Look once more. Come once more. Exodus 17, we have the account of poor Moses, who was threatened, had his life threatened. Told the Lord, they threatened to kill me. And the Lord said, go on, go on. And he'll give you what you need to go on. It will be day by day, hour by hour. That provision will be made, and that will keep you going, and that will maintain your hold on him. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight. No child of God is cast out of the sight of their God. Oh, sin, you look at your sin, don't you? You look at your past iniquities that pain your eyes. You look at them and you say, well, God would be just. Of course he is just. But you see, don't forget this, and I'm going to borrow the hymn writer's words, whom once he loves, he never leaves, but loves them to the end. And I tell you this, that even your sin, child of God, will keep you out of glory. Neither will he remove his hand, nor that neither will relieve his mercy from. One of the most blessed seasons, you know, is that a child of grace can have is to feel his poverty and to cry for mercy. Undeserved favours. Yes, I will look again toward thy holy temple. There is reference here, of course, to Solomon's temple. Do you know the prayer of Solomon at the dedication? And how, as we would say, concern of his prayer was that temple that God gave him the wisdom and the grace and the willingness to build. And I've always thought, and this is just my view, you know, and amongst, there's many ways in which Solomon was able to speak to his God. But one of the ways of which the holy temple came into his mind and upon his spirit was this: they that knew the plague of their own heart. How many do you meet to know the plague of their own heart? You see, that's the characters who feed off the word of God in the house of God. Those are the ones that listen for their soul. And though they're cast down with guilt and shame, and they feel the Lord's reproach upon them, be well aware of this truth, dear friends, that chastening isn't judgment. Judgment is God's righteous justice against sinners. Chastening is an evidence of his love towards his people. And he'll bring them through that season and time back to himself. Now there's another thing too, and then we will finish. As he brought you sometimes to what you might call, very simply, but very solemnly, absolute impossibility. How we shall get through this? How shall we come out of this situation? You know, the poor soul looks at the impossibility and forgets to look to his God. Yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. He wasn't out of the trouble. Neither was Elijah when the man said to him, "There's a cloud the size of a man's hand." It was the token of the rain, but it wasn't the rain. And in due course the rain came. Well, then I said, "I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple." Amen.
God willing, Mr. Crowther is expected to preach next Lord's Day and Mr. Hadley next Tuesday evening, as Mr. Robert Field is still unable to come. Let us close with the second part of hymn 806. Come ye backsliding sons of God, for many such there are, who long the paths of sin have trod. Come cast away despair. Return to Jesus Christ and see, there's mercy still for such as we. 806, part 2.
and pardon what has been amiss in thine eyes, but own and bless thy word. Now, Lord, as we leave thy sanctuary, go with us, appear for us, and when we travel home, preserve us from harm and danger. Lord, here we are, so close to the Lord's day. Grant us grace to lay up prayers, that thou wilt be mindful here and mindful where we are, that thou wilt appear and provide. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God the Father and the fellowship of communion of the Holy Spirit remain with us each, now and always. Amen.